Stop worshiping. We can. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. If you're a guest of ours, we want to welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church online or here in person. If you're here in person, we encourage you to fill out a connection card. Hopefully, you have one. If not, you can get one from the ushers. Turn that in to the ushers or go to the kiosk in the vestibule, and we have a small gift for you. We want to show you our appreciation for your visit here with us today. We're glad that you're with us. We're glad that you're feeling the presence of God, and we want to encourage you to join us again. Amen. You can do that also online. You can connect with us on the Bitly link. Also, we want to remind you of your giving options. If you are online, you can give online there. The instructions, cgcmadison.org, giving. You can give in person, of course, here by turning in your offering in the plexiglass box in the vestibule on the kiosk. And, of course, the mail still works. You can send it in the mail, or you can give it with our new Church Center app. Amen. And if you don't have the Church Center app, you should look into that. It's a great way to connect with the people of God and to interact with the work of God. Please do that. If you have a smartphone, which most of us do, please check into that. Connect with the body of Christ. Connect with the work of God. And then you can also give there as well. A couple of announcements. This Wednesday, we have a missionary service. Karen Poole, missionary to Lesotho, will be ministering to us her burden and in the word of the Lord. So please keep that in mind when you come on Wednesday evening. We're going to hear about God's work around the world. Also, coming up Friday and Saturday, Purpose Institute. Praise God. Amen. It's a great way to learn more about the Word of God, to learn more about God's doctrine, the apostolic doctrine. But it's also a great way to increase your ability to minister to others. Classes take place one weekend per month from January through April this semester. You can sign up for one of the four classes that are offered, or you can sign up for all four. You can talk to Brother John or Sister Jessica Rivest. They are the dean and the administrator of Purpose Institute for this campus. Then coming up on January 30th. I almost said next week again. On January 30th, we have a connection fair. And it will be an opportunity for you to see the different connection groups that have been started, and also to be exposed to maybe ministries that you weren't aware of or that you have you realize you have a burden for. Trying to connect everyone within the body of Christ to other souls that are reaching out to the world around us, but also to ministries here in the congregation that are also doing the work of God. So please keep that in mind. Set some time aside. What we're going to do is have a 10 a.m. Classes, and at 11 o'clock will be a brief worship service in Word of God. And then by 11:30, we're going to break and go into the fellowship hall, and you'll have a chance to peruse the different offerings, the different connection groups, and different ministries. Why don't you pray, maybe fast, prepare for that, so that God can talk to you about what He wants to do in your life and do through your life. Amen. Let's stand. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Sister Pam Carpenter is experiencing some back pain. I'm not sure where she is here in the auditorium, but if those that are nearby, if you want to gather with her and pray for her, we want to pray for her. We want to pray for our service here this morning. Pray for the ministry of the Word. And let's open our own hearts so that God can talk to us. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for Sister Pam, oh God, that the power and virtue of God will be poured out even right now. In Jesus' name, we pray for her healing, for her deliverance from this condition, for whatever the cause, oh God, whether it be momentary or whether it be something serious that we're unaware of, oh God, I pray for a miraculous touch in her body, Lord, for healing. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we release that word. We speak that word and release virtue according to the will of God, according to the word of God. In Jesus' name, we pray for the remainder of this service and for all of our brothers and sisters who are battling with sickness, COVID and every other kind of sickness, oh God, that's in our world today. We pray for virtue and healing, oh God, to be ministered to the body of Christ, and anoint us, oh God, to be ministers of healing to those that we know and that we meet. We pray, oh God, for your blessing on the remainder of this service, that our worship will honor you and will be used of you to bless others. And I pray, oh God, for your anointing upon our pastor, upon the man of God, that the word of God will flow from him in a way that ministers to everyone here. Help us, oh God, to honor you in all of this and to give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord.
Enthroned above the heavens, the earth and all creation, they bow before you. You are crowned with strength and glory, the angels crying holy, all surround you. Your presence is the treasure that I am seeking. You are an all-consuming fire, and I am your desire, and you are mine.
and the Holy God, I stay amazed.
Situation to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You said it. I believe. If you said it is done, you said it. So I believe. And you said.
I believe,
I choose to believe it, God.
You difficult or hard for you. Oh God, I come against every weariness in this place, every heaviness on every heart, God. Let there be freedom and liberty, God. We pray in the name of Jesus. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, would you mind just lifting up that special language to the Lord right now? Oh God, let your spirit pray through us right now in Jesus' name. Oh
Such a very, very special presence of the Lord in this place today. I just love what I feel. I just love what I feel. God is desiring to do something. It's someone's life today. We had our first session, we talked about God fulfilling a promise. I really felt the power of the Lord teaching this morning. I was telling Brother Seidel, I just felt such a presence of the Holy Ghost. God desires to come through with what He's promised. And He will. He will. But so much of the process isn't just God's portion, but it's our portion. It's our portion. And we are His church. We are His body. We've been in a series started last week. It's just called Simple Church. Just Simple Church. We've been reading Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And I want to commend our worship team this morning. This was just beautiful. I mean, it's just... We have to understand that the church, we kind of made a little bit of a joke, I guess, out of this. We talk about smartphones. The church is not an iPhone. It's not an Android phone. It's not any brand of smartphone that you just push in your customizable personal preferences. When I come to church, I don't have a choice who's here. Do you know that? I don't have a choice who's here. Anyone that wants to come here can come here. I don't always have a choice in who stays here, who leaves. I've told people nobody's forcing you to be here. People say, well, you know, your church is a cult. Nobody's forced to be here. You can leave any time. And we have had people leave any time. But you see, the church is full of people. When you look at a church, we drive by, and so many times we think of the building. It's a church building, but the church itself, it's the people. It's a community of people. And this morning, as many of you were worshiping God and crying out to God, some of the pain, some of the frustration, perhaps, aggravation. The church is full of people. And it's full of lots and lots and lots of messy people. People that have problems. We all have problems. If you don't have a problem, come to me after church, and I want to know how you go through life without having problems. We all have those sources of agitation in our families. Sometimes it's our husband that agitates us to no end. Sometimes it's the wife. Sometimes it's those pesky teenage daughters or sons. It's the neighbor. The guy who lives across the street. Everything would be perfect in the neighborhood if it wasn't. But you see, this church, I hate to say it, but there's nobody here that's perfect. If you think you're perfect, let me tell you, you're in the wrong place. pastor, a friend of mine in Milwaukee, Elam Tabernacle, Steve Rogers, his church logo is "No Perfect People Allowed." No perfect people. But you see, what we do have is we have a bunch of imperfect people with at sometimes messy lives that get together consistently. No matter what's going on in your life, you're coming to church, sitting next to another imperfect people, worshiping a perfect God, and allowing that perfect God to take a little bit of his presence, a little bit of his perfection, and just pour it out on us. All in an effort to make us more like him. I want to be like him. I don't want to be like Bishop, although I love Bishop. I don't want to be like John Repka. I love John Repka. I don't want to be like Ben Thompson. I want to be like Jesus Christ. And I want all of us to be like, strive to be like Jesus Christ. So we're reading today our passage, and this is not going to be, some of you may look at the clock and think, oh boy, it's not going to be a long message this morning. And you say, we've heard that before. Remember, I've got to stand here while you guys are all sitting. And I've been standing pretty much since 10 o'clock, so I am ready to sit down. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with the awe at the many wonders, signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So this right here, they sold property, possessions to give to everyone. But then the very next verse, as they continued to meet together in the temple courts, they met together in the temple. They met together. That's where they were having church. Yet they broke bread in their homes, so not everybody sold everything. And ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We read in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, introduces to us the very first church plant ever. As we look at this church, they were not a smart church. They were not an Android or an iChurch. It wasn't all about them. They were a we church, and they gathered around God's word. Last week we spoke about one thing we have in common. One thing they did is they gathered around God's word. Today I just want to move into the next portion of this, and they devoted themselves to fellowship. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. You see, we want to talk today just briefly about doing life together. Doing life together. Christianity, understand, Christianity is not a Bible study. So many people say, I converted to Christianity. I was converted, and they talk about their conversion, and they go into the scripture, and they begin to read off passages of scripture referencing a change in their life. My life was changed. I was converted. I believed. Whatever it may be, their style of conversion for many of us, most of us, we repented of our sins. We were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. We speak of that as our conversion. I just want to take and I want to challenge you today that this church, Christianity is not a Bible study. It is a lifestyle. And this is where so many people steer so wrong, is they look at it as an experience. It is not an experience. We used to have a track that we put out in the vestibule. years and years ago, Pentecost is not an experience. Or Pentecost is an experience. It's a lifestyle, excuse me. Pentecost is something you experience. It's something that we live. We are Christ-like. We are apostolic in doctrine. We are apostolic in our lifestyle. And the church is not a building. It's not a place, but it's a fellowship. The church is a fellowship of Christ-like people coming together and living and doing life together. The word fellowship in verse 42 is a Greek word that actually means, that literal meaning is fellowship, communion, participation, and sharing. So you see what that means as you look at verses 45 and verse 46. These people were willing to sell their property. They were willing to get rid of possessions, to help each other out, and they spent time together every day. Every day. This was a daily thing with them. Sad to say, but for most of us, it's a once-a-week experience. They did this daily. They were daily communicating. They were daily sharing life. They were daily sharing mission. We are to spend time with each other. We are to care for one another. We are to be willing to sacrifice one for one another. We should give generously one to another and share a common life, all in response to Jesus Christ doing those things for us in our lives. I don't know about you, but I would hate to know where my life would be today without Jesus Christ and without the influence of many of you, most of you in my life. Where would my life be today? You see, that's why we are not an I church. It's not all about me. It's not all about what I want or what I need. It's about us. It's about we. The Bible speaks very little of independence and speaks a whole lot about community. Speaks very little about this is all about me, and it speaks a whole lot if it's all about community. It's all about fellowship. I've heard it over the many, many times over the course of my life that the most valuable commodity I have in my life is my time. Yet Jesus Christ calls us all together to give our most valuable commodity to one another, to share it with one another. We're already doing fellowship. When we gather for worship today, as we worship, this was such a powerful example of godly worship and fellowship today. You know what made this special? You know what made this and gave it the dynamic that it had? I heard them out here practicing for service. I felt the presence of the Lord, but I didn't feel it the same way I felt it as they were singing during service. What gave it, what made it, what it, fellowship? All of us collectively lifting our hands together, worshiping the Lord together, doing church, fellowship, worshiping God together. When we do a Bible study or we go on a hike, or we had joined a community group, or we go to visit each other in the hospital. It's all about fellowship. It's all about doing life together. But if we're honest with ourselves, most of our fellowship, a lot of our fellowship, is a bit orchestrated. We orchestrate. Well, we're going to have so many over for, well, we can't have them over this week because the house is messy. We can't come over because in order for us to have pastor over, the house has to be totally perfect. Has to be totally perfect. Now, I like clean houses as much as anybody else, but I realize and understand that our house isn't always perfectly clean. And I've just had to make some exceptions that, you know what, my house is never going to be perfect. Just as my life is never going to be perfect, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to try or attempt. So everything is, doesn't have to be neat and perfect and presentable, because life isn't always that way. I realize and understand, like anybody else, fellowship is more like, it's like a family. We have folks, so we have family over, and when we have family over, I don't quite worry so much about what things look like. I used to have to, before I could have certain people over, because I knew they had clean garages. I don't know if any of you have ever visited Rufus and Pam Parker. He's a pastor, Brother Rufus Parker, incredible. His garage, it's like you open it up and you're going into a showroom of a car dealership. First time I walked into his garage, I mean, you take your shoes off. Honest? You take your shoes off. And he has little booties that you can put on, little footsies. You don't wear shoes in their home. Everything. I told Rufus, I said, he's like, when are you going to invite me over? When I get my garage clean. He laughs. Oh, you know, I said, oh, yeah, I know how you are. We had him over recently. He didn't go through my garage. He came through the front door. I wouldn't let him in my garage. But you see, fellowship. Fellowship is like family. Fellowship is welcoming someone that you're sitting together on a church pew, welcoming them into your world, into your home, into your house, experiencing life with you, even though there's piles of laundry on the floor. So what? Even though there's dishes in the sink, add to them. Even though the baby's crying and maybe your lawn isn't perfectly mowed and the kids aren't done with their homework. You see, fellowship is when you have some sort of a situation that hits your family and you're sick, or there's a death in your family, or a church friend, a brother or sister comes over to take care of you. How many of you receive meals from folks that brought it to your home if you were sick? You didn't really care what you looked like when you came to the door then, did you? I didn't care. I came to the door and some folks dropped off some food, and I hadn't shaved in a week and a half because I just simply didn't want to. I looked rough, but I didn't care because I knew at that door there was a package. There was some chicken noodle soup. Brother Ben Thompson stopped by a few times and brought some chicken soup and some raspberry-flavored raspberries and some ice cream, sassy cow. I looked horrible. I'm so thankful that he looked at me and says, boy, my pastor looks terrible today. I don't know if I should even drop this off. He looks so bad. I'm so thankful you had pity on me, brother, and sat outside on the back porch and talked. That helped me so much. You have no idea how much strength I gained. Just in my pajamas, flannel shirt, hadn't shaved, looked pathetic, and Brother Ben, what a trooper. You see, that's when you know that you're in true fellowship. That's when you know. You see, fellowship's getting up early for breakfast, going out with that brother or sister that's struggling. They just need someone to meet with them, somebody to pray with them. We have ladies that gather here at the church, and they walk around the church property and out in the fields, and they have a prayer group. That's fellowship, when you're willing to meet somebody early in the morning. Fellowship is when you're willing to get up late at night because a brother or sister is struggling through something and they're just having a difficult time. That's fellowship. That's what God, this is how God designed his body to function. You see, fellowship is seeing each other on the good days and the bad days as well. But there's a deeper component to this. You see, the root of the Greek word for fellowship means common or profane and impure. Although there's something rich and meaningful and loving about church fellowship, there's also an element about church fellowship that can be raw, that can be rough, that can be profane, and at times impure. Now you think about this. You're like, what are you getting at here, Pastor? Remember Acts. Remember Acts chapter 2. This was the model church. But you see, this church, this model church, it had some stinkers that lived in, that went to it as well. You know what I'm talking about? Those who live one way, but do church another way. You see, we find this a perfect example in Acts chapter 5. We find a good brother and a good sister. They come to church. Oh, they worship just like everybody else worships. They're up at the front when everybody else is up at the front. They're giving in the She's for Christ offerings and Sunday school offerings, and they're supporting all the ministries of the church. In fact, they even went as far as to sell everything out. You see, there are always going to be, and hear me now, there are always going to be imperfections and stinkers sitting next to us. There are sometimes I'm going to be the stinker. And there are sometimes you're going to be that stinker. So we have here, we have a couple. We have Ananias and Sapphira, a good brother and a good sister, trying to lie to God. Got to lie to the pastor to make themselves good to the rest of the church. We talk about Acts chapter, we move on in Acts chapter 15 and Acts chapter 17. We have a problem that's developing, and we've got part of the church, the Jewish believers. Remember, the church was first poured out to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. And understand, they lived in a time period. We talk about racist issues today. We talk about all of this. We're constantly, when I say bombarded, is constantly being brought up. The church, the first church, had some deep-seated racist issues that they had to deal with. Understand, the Jews wanted nothing to do with the Gentiles. Now understand, this wasn't a white or a black issue. This was a Jews versus the rest of the world issue. All right? I mean, that's how bad it was. So it didn't matter if you were a German. It didn't matter if you were any other nationality of that day. It didn't matter your skin color. If you weren't Jew, you were a dog. Pure and simple. And the early church had to deal with all of that mess. You had the Hebrew ladies fighting with the Grecian ladies. You had the church trying to open its arms up to the Gentile nation. Peter didn't even want to go preach. God had to give the man a vision. All of these things were all issues that the first church had to deal with. You see, it's not always easy being family. Now we have our physical bloodline family, and we have our church family, which is our spiritual bloodline family. We all have come through Christmas and through Thanksgiving, and there's no doubt you've had issues with family members. The same thing applies here. It's not always easy, and the church family is no different. But hear me now, sometimes we expect, listen to me, okay? Sometimes we expect far more from a brother or a sister than we ourselves are willing to give. Sometimes we expect far more from the person sitting in front of us or behind us or next to us than what we're willing to give. You see, we come here. I hear it often. Well, I don't know that I'm going to come back to church anymore, Pastor. Why is that? Well, I was really offended. I was really offended, you know. So-and-so said something to me that was real hateful, real hurtful. Sisters were together, and they started talking, and I said a few things. They started making fun of me, and it really hurt my feelings. I'm just going to be really just gritty and plain here, okay? We're family. We're all children of the same God. We're all struggling in life. We all make mistakes. We all say stupid things at times. So all I can say is just get over yourself. Okay? We all have slip of the tongues. We all hurt. We all offend. But you see, I think that's part of God's testing process for his church. Okay? And I'm almost done, actually. So if our musicians want to come back. You see, I think God wants us to learn to forgive. And what better way to learn to forgive each other than by offending each other? How else do you forgive one another? You ever think of that? The Bible says, forgive your brother or sister. Forgive those. What that's saying is there's a lot of offending going on. I'm going to say things you're not going to like. Somebody else is going to say things. But you see, this is how. It's through forgiving one another that we are forgiven. And this is how our fellowship, it's how the body of Christ becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. It's all part of what we call our spiritual maturity. It's all talking, all part of us growing together in God and with God. Growing together in God and with God. You see, the thing is it's here in the church that I learned what true grit is really all about. It's here in church where I learned what I was all about as far as my character, goods and the bads. You could stand to your feet. We talked about Abraham this morning in the test of faith. This is where it takes grit. It takes a tough gut, a stiff jaw, sometimes to test your faith. I'm not talking about going around purposely offending people to force them to forgive you. I'm not talking about being that arrogant jerk. I was going to say it. Some of you were thinking it, so. But understand, when we've completed, once you completed, if I could put it this way, you may say, well, how do I know if this is the church for me? Once you've completed a step of surviving an offense in a church, then that's the church you need to plant yourself into. Because it means you've passed the test. But understand something. Doing life together, it can have wonderful times of encouragement and joy, but it can also frustrate us. It can also bruise us. But just like family, we stick it out because we love Jesus, we love each other, Jesus loves us, and each other loves us. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful this morning. I stand before you as, yes, I'm your pastor. But 45, since 1972, however many years that is, this church has been my family. I've grown up with Sister Jeanette Thunder as my sister. How long have you been here, Sister Jeanette? 35 years we've come to church together. Some of you weren't even born. I was talking with Brother Tim Knopp at breakfast with him a week or so ago. Came here when he was just 18 years old to college. That's when we first started hanging out together. I'll be 60 this year. Brother Tim is not far behind. Brother Tim, we've been doing life together for 40 plus years. And what a blessing this man, this brother has been in my life. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful I get to do life with you guys. I don't know who else I would rather do it with. So as we finish this service this morning, we've had a great service today. Such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost here. We're going to do a little different. I know we've had a pandemic and there's COVID and all of this stuff. We're all here together. If you're comfortable, if you're not comfortable, just do the elbow bump or fist pump or whatever. But as our worship team begins to sing, I just want us to just, if there's someone here that has meant a lot to you in your life, go to them this morning before you leave and let them know how much they've meant to you, how much of an influence they've had in your life. I'm so thankful that we have Brother and Sister Caskey here. When I first started as pastor of this church, we had three retired superintendents coming here. We had our bishop, we had Brother Russell, and Brother Putnam. And I would get up here and preach. I would be so nervous. Like, Lord, how in the world am I ever going to pastor these guys? They were so kind, so forgiving, so understanding, and so supportive. That's a good elder. I'm thankful for our elders. We have folks that aren't here today. Our bishop, his wife, struggling getting back and forth to church. We have Brother Rico and Sister Julia that sit here on the front. They're taking care of aging parents, and it's very difficult time in their lives right now. Sister Puckett, Sister Brenda Rabine's not here this morning because she's with her mom watching church online, sitting confined in a nursing home. We love you, Sister Puckett. We love you, Sister Brenda. Sister Manley, what a gem. Whose life hasn't she touched in this church? Sister Jan Rager, 99% of the young people, and I'm a young person. I called her Aunt Jan and everybody else. She's everybody's aunt, Aunt Jan. Where would we be if we didn't have Aunt Jan's presence in our life? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful we have Brother Dave and Sister Ellen and some of our elderly ladies, Sister Bauer, Sister Armstrong. I'm so thankful. I'm so appreciative. What an awesome fellowship God has put us in. I could go through Brother and Sister Thorpe, I look over at just Brother Rossing, Sister Rossing. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Brother Seidel. We're getting to be the old guys now. Who would have thought? I love all of you. I love all of you. Let's just sing. Find a brother, find a sister. Let them know how much they mean to you. Sister Jane Braisman, Brother Andy, the Morans. I could just, I don't know when to stop. I just need to, I'll get myself in trouble by not mentioning somebody. So you allins, it's a southern term, y'all, all of y'all. I love all of y'all. God bless you. God bless you. Find that brother, that sister. Like I said, if you're not comfortable, just do the fist bump. Let them know how much they mean to you. God bless you. Thank you. have a missionary on Wednesday evening, Sister Poole. So just remember that Wednesday evening we'll have a missionary. God bless you. Fellowship. Hang out. Invite one another out for lunch, for dinner. Even if your house is messy, have them over. God bless you. Love you all. I'll see you here on Wednesday.